Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs postgame show presented by PointsBet. Use the promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. Shoving 101, Professor Hendricks, class dismissed. Luke Stuckmeyer, Cody Delmendo, and Ryan Herrera as the Cubs avoid a six-game losing streak. They snap it at five in a row, and it's the Professor Kyle Hendricks with a masterful performance out in San Diego. Really, boy, that's the best we've seen Hendricks pitch in a long time, but that was vintage Kyle Hendricks.
That was Kyle Hendricks in those 16 appearances that we saw of good last year. Let's just start with the fact that it is night and day on pre and post today. Because we were all, specifically me, I was yelling into this microphone, pissed off about the Cubs weekend. And now I'm here, and I'm like, just honestly, I'm just happy that we get to celebrate something tonight. Like it's been so bad that I felt like I haven't done it in a while. So it's just nice to win one. You know the Kevin Malone gif or video from The Office where he's just like, it's just nice to win one. Like yeah. That's where I'm at tonight. Like it's like a. I feel like I lost like 50 pounds off my chest tonight. Like this is what the Cubs do to me. This is what this stupid baseball team does to me. It's just like when things aren't going well, everything is miserable. When something good happens, like tonight, you're on top of the world. I don't care that the Cubs are now 10-18. I don't care that we're one of the worst teams in baseball. What we saw from Kyle Hendricks tonight was awesome, and it proves once again that you don't have to throw 100 to be a really good pitcher in baseball if you know how to pitch.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle, of course, like you already said, it was a great game. That 8 2/3, nearly had the first complete game shutout for the Cubs since Alec Mills' no-hitter in September 2020. But yeah, 8 2/3, just 3 hits, 1 walk, 7 Ks, got up to 116 pitches. So like, if we're talking about like, oh, these guys aren't going to be stretched out. No, they're stretched out now. Kyle Hendricks is just stretched out. He can go full nine. If he does what he did today. But even like his advance, like you look at on Statcast, I mean, he had 10 whiffs on the changeup on 25 swings, 4 more whiffs on the four-seamer to go along. He had also had 10 called strikes on the four-seamer. He had 14 called strikes plus whiffs, which is a 42% just based on, you know, the four-seam fastball numbers. He had an 80.8 average exit velocity, which is 8 miles per hour lower than what it was for the season. And that's on 20 balls in play too. So it's not like it was like a few. For one game, that's a pretty big sample size. Like that's, you know, that he is limiting the hard contact. He did that all night tonight. Got just a bunch of swings and misses with that changeup, a couple with a fastball, and just really looked like, you know, you talk about the vintage Kyle Hendricks. Like that was it tonight. And that's obviously what the Cubs would like to have more of from more often than not from Kyle Hendricks, but at least for tonight, kind of get the monkey, like you said, you know, weight lifted off your chest, get a little monkey off the Cubs.
14 out of 17 they had lost.
Get the monkey off the Cubs back for at least the night and, you know, a little bit of momentum going into this road trip.
We were off camera and we were like, it would be a success if this team goes 2-4. They already got one win out the gate. So it's like, I'm not jumping to, you know, way ahead here, but I'm just saying, like,
This is a good Padres team. This is a team that has
a good lineup.
World Series aspirations just as much as the Padres. I don't care if Tatis is out right now. Like, that's even without him, they're a really good ball club. So,
19-10 coming in today. I think I want to say they had one of the wild card spots. Like, that, if the season had ended yesterday, they would have been a wild card team behind the Dodgers, obviously. But that's a good team, and Kyle just. They didn't do anything against Kyle Hendricks. I don't think anyone got past first base on the Padres today. Constantly soft contact, limiting the hard contact, swings and misses. It was just like that's the Kyle Hendricks that we know he can be. Just these past couple of years, it has not been that as consistently. So you need him to do it more often than not. But that was a good, very, very good outing to watch Kyle Hendricks today.
Opening day was good. This was great. And I know in the pregame show, I said, well, if they're going to be as bad as their record is going into this game, no deal can be off the table. That said, I don't want to see Hendricks go. I don't want to see Contreras go. And I was sitting there watching that last inning. First of all, he hit 88 on a four-seamer in the ninth inning. I love his reaction coming out of the game, but the thing that's so awesome about Kyle Hendricks, he's just a master at what he does. Like you said, he's not blowing it by everyone. Don't get me wrong, he's not Greg Maddux. But the comparison is so easy between the two of them because they pitch in a similar way. They're just a step ahead of the batter when their control is working. And I was thinking in the ninth inning, is it possible Kyle Hendricks is my favorite Cubs pitcher ever? and that conversation could be up there. Like, I know Brendan, who does the podcast, with us. Like, he loves John Lester, and so does Corey loves John Lester. Don't get me wrong. John Lester was a great Cub. Wouldn't have a World Series without him. Hendricks went in and pitched game 7. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to hand the ball to... I don't care how many games in a row he's been bad, even when he's off. There's something about Kyle Hendricks and the way he does it, and does it without even breaking a sweat. Like, I was joking when I was like, let him go 130 pitches, because it doesn't look like he's even working out there. When's the last time you saw Kyle Hendricks sweat? when's the last time you saw him grimace or have like a reaction
or show
to
any emotion at all?
Any emotion to a bad call. Like, other pitchers let everything get to them. He's out there with that deadpan face, just putting the ball wherever he wants when he has that control and changing the speed. Like, his changeup was masterful. Who else am I missing? Like, what Cubs pitchers am I missing? Like, I know old-time Cub fans are going to say, well, Fergie, and, you go down the list. Greg Maddux is on the list. But, again, they let him leave, and he did a lot of his damage with the Braves.
Right.
Yeah. All-time, in my lifetime, Cubs pitcher, Kyle Hendricks has to be in the conversation.
He's
for my favorite.
Yeah, I mean, my young life, my 25 years of life, didn't get to see the greats of yesteryear. But Kyle Hendricks is like... I always say, like, because Cody mentioned, he doesn't blow pitches. He's not blowing fastballs by anyone. He just has succeeded for, 8-9 years now on his command and his ability to place pitches where they need to be. The last couple years hasn't been as good at it, but historically his career has been able to do that with consistency and with success. And there's really not much better games, at least for me, to watch than seeing Kyle Hendricks go less than 100 pitches, quality start, less than 100 pitches, like just seeing him, keeping rolling up ground balls nonstop. Like, right. That kind of stuff is just, that's Kyle Hendricks. And he did it he's done it so many times in his career. And I mean, I think, like you said, like if you're talking
other
about
other guys,
especially
Kerry Wood, we just talked about Kerry Wood on Friday, the Kerry Wood game. Right. And think about the difference in these two games, right? Like, Kerry Wood was crazy dominant because he was just blowing it by with just like video game stuff. And then you watch this, and Hendricks wasn't as dominant, but he got, incredible results just doing it a completely different way.
This was a Kyle Hendricks game. Yeah. Soft contact, swings and misses.
Yeah.
tweeted from the Cubs account. It's like, add this to the Kyle Hendricks, like, highlight reel or tribute video from the Cubs one day. Like, you, like, when I think of Kyle Hendricks' best games, I'm thinking about the near no hitter in St. Louis. I'm thinking about the Maddox game against St. Louis.
Yep.
And I think I'm going to add this game to it now too. And there's more to it, but when I think about some of the best games that I've watched him pitch, this one is up there now because, like, I mean, he needed one out, and the only reason they took him out was because of the pitch count. And I totally get it. It's early. It's not September, and the Cubs are out of it. Like, it's early. And so I was okay with it. But, yeah, I mean, as far as, like, favorite pitcher for me, man.
Kerry Wood, Carlos Zambrano,
I became I really became a fan in 98, and, like, you know, obviously – Zambrano, Pryor, Wood are up there.
Matt Clement's on your list?
Matt Clement's on my list.
The beard,
I'll
right?
never. Yeah. Unfortunately, my most memorable moment of Matt Clement is when he was at the Red Sox and that ball hit him in the head or whatever it was.
Ted Lilly. I'm just giving, like, Dempster. Recent names. Yeah. I mean, man.
If you think about just, like, from the turn of the century.
I honestly think.
Might be number one.
Game seven.
Yeah. If you think about just from the millennia, since 2000.
I think people would say Lester. I would guess that Lester would be the number one vote, but Kyle Hendricks is up there, and I see Brennan.
Arrieta's still mine, and it's only because the guy goes out there, it doesn't matter what the degree is, or wear no sleeves, has the beard, and just dominated you. I don't care if it was stretch, for only like a four-year stretch. Yeah. I don't care. He was the best pitcher on the planet for a whole half season, won a Cy Young, was literally at least – a large percentage of the reason why the Cubs did what they did in 15, and I'll never forget it. And it led to what came up in 16. But again, Kyle Hendricks is
in the conversation
there,
with Lester, Arrieta, you know, Brendan saying, I needed that Hendricks win. And then he's also saying, game six, Kyle Hendricks, 2016, NLCS win against the Dodgers.
That's
right?
True.
And that's the game.
Arrieta, two wins in the World Series.
Yeah, that's right.
I think the biggest thing is just outside of Kyle Hendricks looking like Kyle Hendricks tonight is just, I think we said it, but how badly the Cubs just needed a win.
Yeah.
Just needed a win, but like also needed length from their starters. They had
right.
This was the third time a starter's gone seven innings, I think, the whole year. Like, they needed some length. That bullpen, you know, they had a long weekend, and they're going into today had covered more innings than the starting staff did, the rotation. So that was just a game that, one, you needed someone to come in and just, you know, put the Cubs in a position to win, but also just to get, you know, eat up a bunch of innings so that, you know, you've seen a little bit of roster shuffling the last few days on the pitching staff that got an 8 2/3 out of Kyle Hendricks. Scott Efros only had to throw seven pitches like that. Bullpen is pretty much going to be fully rested tomorrow if they need it.
Rachel, we were wondering if Rachel was going to be on the show tonight because she's in London. She says, it's 6 a.m. in London. I've got to get ready for work, but just quickly, go Cubs. Kyle is the most underrated pitcher in baseball. And by the way, now they're talking about London, Rachel, that possibly the Cubs Cardinals going back there to finally play now in 2023 exciting. Is a possibility. I love that on the other side of the chat is Marcus joining in, and he's still thinking pregame. He's like, yep, trade Contreras and Hendricks and get top prospects for him and let go of Hayward. He's still not, you know...
He's not letting one game fool him.
He's not letting one game fool him. I understand that.
I genuinely respect it. It's fine.
We do enough post-game shows. Enjoy when you see game from a Cubs
that's
player.
That's basically where I'm at. Because, again, I really do feel like this is one of those that we'll look back for Kyle Hendricks when we talk about some of the Kyle Hendricks' best, like, at least regular season performances. You know, this one's up there. When I was talking earlier about some of his best performances, I was really only thinking regular season. I didn't even think about the postseason, which is wild because obviously there's plenty of memorable moments from him from the 16, obviously. Even in 15, I remember he started a game in St. Louis the Cubs went on to win. So, you know, it again, just nice to win one. Kevin Malone, Cody Delmendo. It was not only – like, we haven't even talked about the offense yet. And, like, we scored six runs tonight. Six.
I know. The offense was there, too.
First time since they played Atlanta.
First time. What did we say? Over three
or more runs for the first time since April. Oh,
God bless.
That's not good. But I see Michael Wagner is on here, Cubs fan, saying it was a fun game. And like most times, a lot of Cubs fans on the road in San Diego. I bet that was a fun game. You could really hear them booing David Ross
when he came out to take Hendricks,
but Hendricks wasn't having it. You know, he's just like, bad walk, bad walk. He knew it and just kind of chuckled and laughed.
Yeah, I think we were just more like, we're like, oh, the game was almost over. Like, we just needed maybe one more pitch and we're off. And then you had to wait a little bit for Scotty F. Ross to get warmed up. But, you know, again, like you said, Luke, or Cody, you know, understand, he was at 116 pitches. He had that walk. He had the deep fly out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you'd want out to go in the game, but I think that's probably a good spot.
I'm sure they didn't even want to let him go over 110, but because of how much the bullpen's been used, you know, I think they just decided that we needed to do this. And again, he had a shutout going into the ninth inning. I mean, it is what it is. I would have loved to see him get the complete game, but again,
it would have been nice.
It is what it is.
Pat Hunt on the chat summing up exactly what you were saying at the beginning of the podcast, Cody. For a wildly frustrating as this year has been, there are moments you can enjoy, and this is one.
Yes.
You know, it may not. It's not going to possibly lead to, you know, 15 out of 16 wins. But that's a game that, if it's going to be a tough season, you want to watch. That's one you wanted. Hopefully you stayed up and watched.
Yeah. And if you wake up tomorrow, you're going to be pissed off that you missed it.
Killer, at least we're going to recap it for you in the podcast.
Yeah, that's
when you
true.
Play it first thing
that's
in the morning. True. But, you know what I'm saying?
Right. I mean, hey, for a game that, I mean, it's 12:06 a.m. right now, if you're listening, it could have been a lot worse. You know, we could have saw a stinker like we did all week last week. At least we got a nice Cubs win on the late night in the office.
I mean, it's now 12:07 a.m.
It could have been the Sox.
The chat has activity. Like,
chat has activity.
Rachel's in London, but everybody else is around here.
I don't think Cody would even be here on the set still if the Cubs had blown a six-run lead in the ninth inning. Like and Sox. Herb is in there in studio.
I don't know how
Herb
is here
show.
Like doing like the blow that 6-2 lead.
Herb is pissed, but I called the Josh Naylor game tying grand slam. Luke heard me. I think Cody heard me.
I heard you.
You were in the room. I called that. So
I called Hendricks 8 2/3, one walk. I had predicted.
But you didn't pick him on your who you got though.
No, I didn't.
anyway. But yeah, no, it's like the chat is lit right now. There's a lot of people talking. Luke was not in danger of falling asleep at any point.
I broke my reader. I got so excited. I broke my reader.
The Jolly Rancher gave him a good boost of energy.
I was fading.
I put my head down on the table, but then there were those Jolly Rancher.
Yeah, you should have got one of the Freezy Pops.
Lollipops over there.
The Skittles Freezy Pops are good, but I think
that's for Friday.
Number one thing to come out of this game was like right 3 hours on the dot. Like you can ask for a little lower, but you can't ask for much more than that.
And Hendricks had a big part in that.
Right.
Big part in that.
2 hours and 59 minutes, actually. Look at that.
Efficient Kyle Hendricks. They finally score 3 runs. What was the final line? How many hits did they have? 11, 12?
I think it was 11.
Now, keep in mind, they had 3 hits all weekend against the Dodgers.
11 hits.
Total. I'm not talking about like the last game they had 3 hits. They had 3 hits against the Dodgers, right?
No, they have more hits than that.
They
had more than 3 hits over the weekend.
Joey, how many hits did they have against the Dodgers?
All weekend?
It felt like it was 3 hits.
I can look.
It felt like 3 hits, but there was definitely more.
There weren't very many.
There was definitely more than 3 hits.
I bet you they had more hits
tonight. They got 4. They had 4 on Sunday alone.
Okay, well, then I'm wrong.
Yeah, they had five on.
Did they have
Saturday.
More hits tonight than they had in the whole series against the Dodgers?
Five.
I say yes.
Plus no. 6 is 11. Plus 4.
Oh,
15.
Yeah, right, I can't 15 math.
Hits. All right. Yeah, I don't math either.
I think they scored 3 runs. Maybe that's what you're thinking of.
three runs. That's right.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say
3 hits.
You guys are lucky.
That doubleheader was miserable, but it wasn't that miserable.
It was 3 runs. I was thinking.
I went to the first game during that double. Like, I was actually thinking to myself, I'm like, Cody's staying for another 9 innings. Like, that is freaking crazy.
Built different, man. That's all I can really say. Different. I am built different. This is whatever.
Phil Rutter says 7:07 in the morning. Where's Phil from? Phil, where are you from?
Phil Rutter.
Is that our Ireland friend?
Nah, I thought his name was different. I don't know.
Ronan was our Ireland friend.
Ronan, yeah.
Phil, where are you from? Anyway, while we wait for him to respond. Wait for your response. Should we talk about the offense?
Yeah, I mean,
Denmark.
We could do the whole thing about Kyle Hendricks, and we could go on and on, but it was because it was that good. But just as
talk about how well you guys all did tonight.
He was definitely able to go as deep as he was because he got he was not only was he good, but it helps when you get run support, though, right?
Right. Like, yeah. That was almost as refreshing as watching Hendricks pitch against a really good team and just completely shutting him down. I mean, our who you got was as competitive as we've had
all season.
All season. I mean, even Joey's guy, Joey throws in Jason Hayward, and we're kind of laughing at him. But I mean, he made a great catch in the outfield, right?
Yeah, he had a great catch. He had two hits tonight. He had stolen base. I was saying to you guys, like, if he gave us half that production on a consistent basis, we'd take it and we'd probably be happy with it.
I don't see Jack on here, but Jack had picked Schwindel. That's like the only guy that wasn't.
Are we gonna shift to the negative already?
If you're watching this podcast or listening to this podcast and you didn't see the game end, you also know that Suzuki left the game with a bit of an ankle injury, like kind of jammed his foot on first base. So that's something to keep an eye on too.
I saw Megan and Maddie tweet out Suzuki's day to day. Tweaked his ankle on the right ankle soreness is what Ross says. I think he was running out that double play at first base and just kind of tweaked it. So. Ross, according to Megan, Ross was told by the trainer it's nothing serious, nothing major.
Okay, that's so that, I mean, so yeah, just good news.
God bless.
Probably more precautionary than anything. Suzuki, you know, tweaked his ankle to get him out of the game. You know, again, you have Kyle Hendricks rolling, so it's not like you need to push Suzuki out there.
Joey, do you have the box score? Because our who you got was crazy. I had
Contreras
who led off in this game.
Three for four with a run.
Three for four, and his one out went to the deepest part of the park all the way to the wall and looked like he was going to go four for four with a home run.
I had Ian Happ
at two RBIs, which is
two
hard
for four,
to...
two RBIs, and that hustle double ended up getting Nico to score.
It's probably not Nico tonight. No hits,
but he hit the ball really hard every time.
I wouldn't
give it to him over those other two performances,
but he had a nice game. It wasn't a bad game by any means.
His softest hit or contact made was 95 miles per hour tonight.
That was his very first line out.
Yeah.
Every ball he put in the play was a hard hit.
One of them should have been a homer. It would have been a homer a year ago.
Every hit he put in the play today was a hard hit ball, at least 95 miles per hour exit velocity. With, you know, each one had at least 420 expected batting average. So his box score could easily have said 4 for 4 with a home run. I thought that ball was gone off the bat. I think everyone did.
Even Contreras had one that went to dead center.
Yeah. So Nico's, I tweeted out, but his box score, you look at the box score, you see over four. He hit the ball really hard today. Mm-hmm. And it honestly, again, could easily have been 4 for 4 today if things were different. Nico Horner also had a good game today. I would say that heads up base running to take, you know, to score a run, steal a run from. I think that was the fifth run of the game. Might have been the sixth. But that was just heads up base running by Nico, kind of watching, making sure, seeing where that ball goes. So he had a good game today, too.
I mean, they got the first three runs off Mackenzie Gore, who is good. I mean, he has a very bright future at the major league level. He's a guy that I know Cubs fans were hoping would have been part of that Yu Darvish deal a few years ago. He's in talks of, you know, being part of that rookie of the year chase. Like, they didn't score these runs off some bum from Pittsburgh or Cincinnati. They did this off of a very highly touted power left-handed starter tonight.
Yeah, they made him work 5 innings, but he threw 89 pitches. Cubs got 7 hits, 3 earned runs off him like that. They made him work, and they hadn't seen that in a few games. Hadn't seen the starting pitchers have to work that much. So, Cubs offense came to play today overall was a game that the Cubs needed coming out of that 5-game losing streak, just coming out of that crazy run they had starting in Atlanta. Just you need a game like that from the Cubs. Cubs needed a game like that just to kind of get out of their own funk. And kind of, you know, start this road trip the right way. So that's, you know, both sides of the ball was excellent today.
Somebody on the chat, Liam just said Gomes was amazing tonight too. He did have a good game.
He did.
I was happy to see
he threw a runner out too on defense.
Yeah. Gomes,
that play where Nico hustled in and beat that throw to home and got up. Like, I was happy to see just that he got up with some energy.
Kind of
hyped the dug. I don't know. I think it goes underrated. I just think it would be kind of easy for this team. It's still early, but just not give a shit. Really. Yeah. I mean, they're obviously going to play, but I don't know. I just think I'm happy with the character of the team right now, and they looked like they had some real fight tonight, and it's just promising for a young team that's been struggling.
And to me, what you just said is a lot of credit to David Ross, in my opinion, because
he's keeping these guys going.
He's keeping the guys going. He's a rah-rah guy. Like, that's the big reason why he's there, in my opinion. That, and I do think he can manage a bullpen way better than Joe Maddon did. So,
the former catchers know kind of how pitching staffs work, how to work a pitching staff. So I think Rob, Ross is a very, and you can tell just in the way, guys talk about him and guys, think about him. But these guys really buy into what David Ross is selling out there. Mm-hmm. So when he's, you said it, these guys could easily have gone into this lackadaisical. They just got swept by the Dodgers and the White Sox. Mm-hmm. And instead, they came out with a lot of energy. Kyle Hendricks obviously pitched one of his best game of the year and probably his best game in a couple of years. I think Ross deserves – I mean, obviously the players deserve credit for being there and putting in the work and getting an overall very high-quality win. Mm. But Ross deserves some credit for, keeping these guys up, especially when, we think about Frank Schwindel getting sent down yesterday. That's kind of a shock to the system. You have a couple, couple guys going on the IL with no injury designation, which, I think we can speculate what that means. But just a little negative news around the Cubs to coincide with a 5-game losing streak, and got the guys to go out in San Diego today with a lot of energy, and obviously pulled off a 6-0 win.
Right. I was gonna ask that though in pregame, how much blame do you give David Ross for the slow start? I don't put a whole lot into it, but I know that at some point this season we have to start evaluating him somehow. Like, all of his seasons have been weird.
Yeah.
His first season shouldn't even count. And then they trade away the team. And then you get this year where it's like, I don't know what to do. But at the same time, again, I think unfairly, you had Swaim judged, you had Quadi judged, you had Renteria judged, those teams weren't very good, and I don't know that was the manager's fault on any of the cases, but eventually they got blamed. And so if this team continued to tank, would the seat get a little bit hot? I don't think so, but
no, I mean, they just signed,
but it just depends on none of those other guys should have had that necessarily either. So I think too often managers get blame more than they get praise. I'll just say that. Like, they get blamed more than they get. When the team's good, it's just, well, manager doesn't matter. And when things are bad, it's the manager's fault too often.
Exactly. Yeah, you just hit it right on the nail there, man.
Yeah, and I think we've talked about that, like you mentioned, just the last – both his first two seasons plus this year's kind of just – last year – or 2020 is a pandemic – 2021 is the trade deadline, sell off of the entire core, and he's trying to keep the ship afloat. I think now is when we're starting to, but even now you had the short spring training, you had trying to build guys up the right way through the first month of the season. So I think now is kind of when, if we really we need to, like you said, figure out what David Ross is as a manager, I think it starts right around now, and that's a good way to kick that off.
Unless he starts making tons of terrible in-game decisions, and even the in-game decisions are difficult for him this season because, again, currently there are a lot of what-ifs on his roster, and so he can't go to Keegan Thompson right now every night.
Not
every
night.
Okay?
I'll say this about David Ross, and I don't know how much it really goes into it, but remember last year, trade deadline comes, and then the Cubs were awful in August, as one would expect. And they weren't much better in September, but they were a lot more competitive, and they did win more games in September than they did in August. And again, that it really didn't matter, but to me, it kind of showed that David Ross was getting his guys up to play. And that's just a small little thing. And I feel like that's kind of like what we're seeing here, except it's the beginning of the year. The season is not technically over and you're going through a bad stretch. And despite what happened over the week, not even just over the weekend, but against your crosstown rival in the middle of the week, you come all the way out west, 2-hour time difference compared to where you live.
Right.
And you put a performance like that up. Like, we'll see what happens the rest of the week. But, like, to me, it's almost like the team hit some early adversity and maybe, perhaps, we'll see how they respond to it. It's just there's been a lot of it, yep. And obviously the roster is completely different from what those other teams that they played and everything. But, again, it's a long season, and you just would – I'm not saying it's going to turn into wins, but you just like to see more competitiveness like we did tonight, right? Like, they won tonight, and they pretty much dominated the game. But even on nights that they lose, you want to see them show growth from certain players, and you want to see – Justin Steele pitched like he did on Sunday night and stuff like that. Like, I think in a way, David Ross has a role in it in terms of just, you know, putting guys in the right position and also just making sure his guys are getting ready to play every day. Because like Joey said, they could just not give two shits and could just be very lackadaisical and all this. And tonight you just didn't see any of that. And it was really surprising considering how they played over the weekend and even how they played against the White Sox. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid. But also, I just feel like he, in terms of just getting guys ready to play, I do think he's good at that. Because one of the things that people put down on Joe Maddon was that, A, couldn't manage a bullpen, and B, he got, like, the players got too comfortable around him. And just kind of like, you know, you remember how Javi got lazy a few times and people want to blame Joe Maddon for it because he wouldn't do anything about it. Stuff like just accountability. You know what I mean? So like,
although I think he was the perfect manager at the perfect time.
For sure.
For yeah.
It was like, exact, it was more towards
with all
the end.
Pressure, his stuff of bringing in goats and like animals and snakes,
the giraffe,
and, you know,
yeah.
Yeah. An especially ostrich, all that stuff. Like that was right. The young, when
how
they
young
were
that
young,
team was, yeah.
That was
right.
With the history, that was the perfect guy.
Again, just one game, but I'm interested to see how the Cubs play now the rest of the week, whether there's more wins or not. If the Cubs at least play better than they did last week, if their offense puts up more than one run for this entire week and they go like, say they go like 2-4, like Luke said, that'd be a successful week. They go 2-4, but they score runs and your pitching is whatever, like, eh. Like, I go, for me, with where this team is right now, I'm like, okay, like, at least we're not, like, the Reds or the Pirates level. If the Cubs do that, I will not believe
I may have misjudged the Pirates because they're a little better than I thought they were.
They did beat the Brewers.
But, like, like you kind of were saying,
or
Cody,
the Dodgers.
I'm curious, you know, we'll ask in the like post game or we'll, when we're talking to Ross, we'll ask him about, you know, specific guys, e.g. Frank Schwindel, or, you know, guys that are struggling. And, you know, when Seiya Suzuki's going through his struggles, and a lot of times Ross talks about, like, you know, you're going through adversity, or you know, teams are adjusting to you. You go through a little adversity, and it's kind of about how you adjust back to that. You also like look at that at the team level. Like, the Cubs just went through a very rough stretch of 2 weeks. How do they adjust? How do they respond? How do they react to all that adversity? You saw a good first step today in beating the Padres and just looking really good overall. But now it's like, can you go 3-3? Can you take 4 games somehow this week? Like, that's obviously a huge step in the right direction if they can go .500 these next 6 games versus compared
if they go 3-3. Because I had said in that last stretch where they went 2-9, I said, if they get 4, if they would have won 4 in that set, I'd have been pretty impressed against the 4 teams that they were playing. Only really the White Sox were struggling at that time.
Yeah, you know? Even then, the White Sox are.
They're still a loaded
White
lineup.
Yeah, White Sox are loaded, and they was Giolito and Michael Kopech, who are two of their best pitchers. That right.
And the Cubs did,
those weren't bad. They didn't
anyway,
play well.
They didn't play well, but they didn't play bad.
Anyway, so like they did against the Dodgers. It's just, you know, what I was, you know, back to my point, though, is, again, David Ross talks about, you know, making adjustments, you know, facing adversity and going through, how do you respond? It's the same thing with the team, how they went through this adversity. They responded well today, and now it's just, you know, they have to keep it going because, well, they got their 10, they're 10 and 18 after today still, so they're still not looking good on the win-loss record right now, so the Cubs obviously have to keep the momentum they built today in this win. They have to keep that going, but obviously, you know, it's, again, good first step, good step in the right direction, and we'll see just kind of how the week goes and just how the next few games go if they can keep that kind of momentum rolling.
Yeah, I see Dubs on the chat says that Saya said, quote, "I'm fine." So, again, let's not worry too much about Seiya Suzuki because I'm a little concerned when I heard that. Anytime a guy jams something on a base, you worry that a ligament or something went wrong, but it does not appear that's the case. It sounds like just twisted his ankle or jammed his ankle a little bit. So that's the good news. No question, this was a positive response to a really tough weekend against a really good team, and this was another good team. So I don't know what's going to happen moving forward, but it's one night, it's one morning where you might be listening to this podcast now, and you're thinking, you know, this is going to be a long summer. It might be, but this is one game. If it's on the DVR or if you just listen to the podcast, it's one you can enjoy.
Yeah. And again, like, you know, for this, the expectations for this Cubs team, this will be one that we're talking about at the end of the year. So enjoy it. And, you know, we'll see what happens. Who knows? Maybe this is a building block or whatever.
Now, I hate to bring you down, Cody, but did you have any bets on this?
I did. I had one bet. It was no run first inning in which the Cubs
were in
that.
Are you willing to sacrifice that loss for the Hendricks performance?
I was very much willing to sacrifice that loss.
Sometimes
I was actually,
you have to make a sacrifice.
I was actually very happy when the Cubs scored, and I completely forgot that I had no run first inning tonight. Thank God that was the only bet, because the way that I was feeling going into that game, I almost bet the Padres just because I was looking to hedge my heart and my bank account, I guess you could say. Anyway, the best way to support CHGO is to download the PointsBet app and use code CHGO when you sign up. If you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content. You'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. If you have any questions, email pointsbet@allchgo.com. And we'll help you. Remember that PointsBet is your home for live in-game betting. They even have a new exclusive feature, live NBA same-game parlay. For the first time ever, build the perfect live same-game parlay only with PointsBet. Combine your favorite bets anytime during the game. You can even boost your live same-game parlays. And now online sign-up is available in Illinois. You can actually download the PointsBet app right now and register your account from start to finish, all from your phone. It's 12:30 in the morning. And I swear to you, you can all do it because I watched Luke do it. I didn't really actually watch him, but I just imagined what he did or how he did it. And I'm
stop dreaming about me and points back.
If you have watched or listened to this podcast since the beginning of March, you understand what I'm getting at. Anyway, signing up with the fastest sportsbook is now easier than ever, so you can start living your bet life in seconds. Use code CHGO to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. So what are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Hope you like what we're doing, CHGO. You know, we got the podcast. You're waking up in the morning tomorrow. If you didn't see this live, got it ready to go on your commute or as you get ready for school, and live shows, every team, every day, post-game shows. Doesn't matter what time of day, we're there for you. Post-game show right afterwards. Premium written content for the members. Jared and Ryan doing great stuff at allchgo.com. Dope merch for all the teams. Cody's got the Cubs swag on today for us.
I do.
And you get that free shirt when you become a member and the members-only Discord. So hope you'll rate and review and like the podcast and all that type of stuff wherever you can do that.
There you go. We got our homepage right there.
Give us a shout out.
A lot of good stuff going on.
Tell us what else you want to see if you jump on the
stickers.
Chat sometime.
Dope merch.
I tell you what, I got to tip the hat to the chat tonight. When we're going on, we're going to be pushing 1 o'clock in the morning, and the chat still has active people going through there and commenting like, It's still rolling through. I keep thinking, well, it's going to shut off and nobody's going to comment now in the next 10 minutes. And then Eric or Robbie or Mike Dubs or Liam or Phil or Marcus has something. Fam guy's jumping on now. Everybody, I mean, they're still active.
Yeah, I love this fam guy 218's comment. I swear to you, it's not my like burner YouTube account. He says, not me envisioning vintage Professor back and Stroman and Miley potentially pitching like last year and the Cubbies empire is back. Yeah, that's not my burner. That's not my burner YouTube account. Maybe it's Brendan. Man, I love that.
It
comment.
Could be Brendan's burner.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe Corey too.
Right.
I just love, it's just nice to see some positive comments. We've been reading a lot of negative ones lately, and deservingly so, because the Cubs have made us all angry, right? So, again, this is just one where it's just nice to win one, man.
Robbie says, love the content, guys. Hey, we love your support, so thank you.
Thank you.
I do have a question. So, the lineup came out tonight, and I still don't really understand the whole Schwindel thing, because he was struggling so mightily, and they sent him down. And I thought he was going to stay down, and then they had to make some roster moves, and they brought him back, and he played. He didn't just play tonight. He was in the middle of the lineup. Did he end up with three strikeouts again?
I want to say it was more. And then they brought Rivas in.
0-for-3, 3 strikeouts.
0-for-3,
and this
was
against, I mean, Mackenzie Gore, once again, very highly touted lefty, but I just want to point out that it was against the lefty who, coming into the season, you thought – Schwindel would be very good against lefties at the very least, and you could think you envision perhaps a Rivas and Schwindel platoon where Rivas would face a lot of righties and Schwindel would face a lot of lefties. Three strikeouts against a lefty tonight to continue what we've seen. It's not encouraging.
But what
if there's anything to complain about tonight, it's that.
No, what I'm confused about, though, is I said this in pregame, I was surprised that they sent him down. And then I thought about it, and I was like, well, he's just not showing any signs of life right now. And, you know, earlier in the season, when there was a lot of heat for Patrick Wisdom on Twitter and on the chat, like early, early season, we said, slow down. This is not DFA, send him down yet. Keep him over there at third. It's a very small sample size. And it's turned around a little bit. Now, the reason this is different, and I love Frank Schwindel. Like, I love what he means. I love that he's trying to get this career going late in his, you know, it's
the dude hangs out at Murphy's, man. Like,
everybody's rooting for him.
Yeah,
don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
The reason this is slightly different, because when I thought about it after they did, I thought, that's good for the Cubs. That's the right move. And the reason this is different is because there's nobody to really go play third base that you need to see over at third for Patrick Wisdom. So if he catches lightning in a bottle, he's either maybe a piece of something, maybe he's a backup, whatever. Maybe he's a piece moving forward, or he's a trade piece, okay?
Right.
And you're thinking the same thing for Schwindel because he's older. But Rivas is there and is 5 years younger and has shown you he can play great defense and maybe has some promise with the bat. And Frank hasn't shown you anything this season. So I'm okay with him going down to AAA to try and figure out whatever's going on with him, because I think it might be good for him, because I don't think going out and going 0-for-3 again tonight and striking out three times is going to help him. I don't think he's going to swing his way out of this. Like, whatever it is, he's got to go to Iowa and figure it out. And Rivas has earned the opportunity to play every day for 2 weeks. Like, go ahead and see it. He's 5 years younger. I'm not saying I don't want to ever see Frank Schwindel again. I do. But another guy has earned that opportunity, and you did give Schwindel
a long leash.
A leash. At least a leash. Maybe it wasn't like the longest leash, but so I'm curious to see what's going to happen tomorrow. Like,
yeah.
Like, what is he going to be back in the lineup, or is Rivas going to be in the lineup tomorrow? I mean, they play matchups, but
I think it was
definitely a wild 24 hours for Frank Schwindel. Obviously, the news of him getting optioned, but then, you know, getting brought back up today.
He didn't even make it to Iowa.
Who tweeted that he was on his flight. I forgot his name. But he became famous on Cubs Twitter today.
Yeah,
he was on the same flight that Frank Schwindel was. Apparently, Frank Schwindel was sitting middle seat.
I don't know. But, yeah, I was curious to see Frank not only get called back up today, but then get put in the lineup at number five, I think.
Yeah.
He was batting fifth. I was curious to see. And, like you said, I'm curious to see what happens moving forward if they really – if he ends up going back down, if he – because, you know, 0-for-3 or 3 strikeouts. Again, it's not like he went down for a week, built up some things, and then, you know, wanted to give him another test. Like, he didn't even go back down to Iowa, and then he strikes out again 3 more times. It's just – it'll be – I know, you know, he was a righty versus a lefty. Maybe that the matchup had something to do with it. But like you said, I think Alfonso Rivas, you know, he's hit really well since he got called up. Maybe it's – he deserves a chance for an extended run of, you know, starting at first base and seeing what you got there. Because some guys, you know, like – you talk about Anthony Rizzo. He's a first baseman, but he hit well against both lefties and righties. He had to, right? He didn't platoon Anthony Rizzo. You know, we don't know that Alfonso Rivas can be the same, you know, can be someone that you could throw out there against lefties and righties. But maybe it's time to see if you know, maybe it's time to give him a chance and see what he's got.
Ginger says a month is a long leash.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he had a great stretch. It just seems like he's not the same guy right now. Like,
he's missing. It's not even like he's chasing.
Balls.
It's not even like he's chasing bad pitches. Like, I can't. It's stupid to compare him to how I feel about Javi Baez. Javi Baez is worse because Javi Baez is emphatically better than him. Like, all across the board and all facets of the game. But when Javi was bad, he would swing at literally everything. And whenever when he's good, he would take those sliders away or those fastballs away and take them to the opposite field. Schwindel, he's not even making contact with pitches in the zone. Like, tonight he didn't, at least. And, like, I thought the last couple days he was making contact or making better contact. Just, you know, there was a few hard hit balls to gloves. And I was like, all right, well, seems like maybe he's coming out of it. And then we got this tonight. So I'm kind of lost on him, honestly. I do think that he'd be better off going to Iowa. You know, it sucks for him. He's, what, 30 years old?
It looks like it worked for Ian Happ.
Right, yeah. I mean, we can talk about the age difference and everything all you want, but, like, it's not like great players haven't gone down before to fix themselves. I mean – not like, again, I'm not trying to compare Frank Schwindel to some of the top players in the game, but even we've seen that happen. And I mean, again, like, what could it hurt? Like you said, give Rivas full time at bats against lefties and righties for 2 weeks and see if it plays, see how he does against both.
Well, we keep saying this season's about evaluating and exploring and all these other things, and he had a month. And now, while there's another guy that can play that position, unlike third base, really, where VR is an older guy, you wouldn't be finding out anything over there if you just put him at third every day. Well, he didn't play third base very well. Rivas is pretty good defensively. And how can you judge Rivas unless you give him the same opportunity to, or at least a couple weeks of playing every day? Like, It's tough to really get a judgment on any of these guys if they're not getting at least that type of stretch. Because just go in and out, I get it. That's the world of baseball. But the Cubs are in a position right now where they might be able to give somebody 2 weeks at first base, 3 weeks while someone goes and works on something down at the minor league level.
Yeah, like you said, that's the world of baseball. But platoons are a thing. You don't have a set starting. No one has set starting nine, starting lineups every single day anymore, every single game. If Frank does end up going back down to AAA, that should open up the chance for Rivas to really get reps at the plate against both lefties and righties and see what you got there. And then, you know, obviously the Cubs will have to hope that Frank goes down, figures some things out, does well. And then, you know, a lot of different variables. But say he does well down in AAA, Rivas is not doing very well against lefties, then you can bring Frank back up and do what you've been doing already the first month of the season and platooning and playing the matchups, but I do think that I agree with you, Luke. Like, Rivas should get more opportunities against lefties, just really see what he can do in an everyday role. Frank obviously was, you know, he was optioned yesterday for a reason. I think it just, you know, just had to do with the IL placements and the roster shuffling, which is why they, you know, I don't know if there was like a AAA guy they could have brought up instead, or they just wanted Frank back up, or what it was exactly. But they sent him down. You know, they optioned him yesterday for a reason, and I think had, you know, the stuff that happened today not happened, Rivas probably would have started. Rivas probably, you got one chance to see him against lefties, or against a lefty. But you know, all that is to say, I agree. Like, I think Rivas should get that chance to play every day and just see what you got, even if it is for a week or 2 weeks or whatever. And then if it doesn't work out, then you're kind of back to where you are right now.
And that poor guy, Frank, what did we expect? I mean, the tweet basically, was he sitting in the middle seat? Yeah. Who could ever have a good game after sitting middle seat in an airplane?
Tom Ricketts.
Aisle seats.
No, it was like he was on a plane with like regular people. I think he was getting he was going
to
go
in the middle seat. Yeah. I don't know if it was Southwest. Did he have to was he boarding group C? What happened to him?
I honestly just think he's just the man of the people. Well, he was just like Cubs, you guys.
The Cubs didn't fly out yesterday. They did fly out to San Diego last night, I think. I think it was right after the game. So he was expecting obviously to go out of AAA. And they, you know, some of the beat writers, I think Megan Montemurro put something out about, like, she has a story. I haven't got a chance to read it, but I think he had, like, a flat tire or something, and that's why he couldn't go to AAA. Go read her story if you haven't yet. I'm going
to
do that.
So you're telling me he had a flat tire, he got demoted to AAA, he had to sit in the middle seat. No wonder he went 0-3. What did we think was going to happen?
Yeah,
it's been a whirlwind, I think, last 24-plus hours for Frank.
Frank, I apologize. Is there any doubt I had after hearing that?
All right. Do we want to spin it to the other guy everyone's talking about in the chat, Nick Madrigal, struggling again tonight? Though he did hit some hard baseballs in the air tonight. I'll say that much about him. He did have some hard – as far as exit velocity, I thought he was pretty good.
Third inning, 96.2-mile-per-hour exit velocity, a fly out to center field, I want to say.
Remember, he almost hit one out.
Yeah, he did.
To the opposite field.
To the corner.
Yeah. Right field, off the Anderson Lamet. Yeah, it was a 92.9-mile-per-hour off the bat, 3-6. I think it was like less than 10 feet away from actually taking that out. We were talking about, like, if Nick Madrigal will hit his first home run in the Cubs uniform, and like that almost happened today. That was kind of funny how that almost worked out. But, go ahead, Cody.
I understand why Cubs fans need Nick Madrigal to be, you know, half of what he was with the White Sox last year, which was a 300 hitter. He even slugged over 400 in those few games that he played with the White Sox last year. I get it. I totally get it. But shout out to FamGuy218, aka Cody's burner account. Awesome. Hell yeah. Awesome. What a great way to interrupt what I was talking about, Nick Madrigal. that's a great spin zone. Anyway, Nick Madrigal, yeah, I don't know, man. You know, he's another one where I'm like open. If they wanted to send, if they want to wait until Simmons is ready to come, because he's in Iowa right now.
Right. Well, that could happen when Simmons.
Right.
I could see that.
When Simmons comes up, if they want to option him to Iowa, go ahead. Because, all this, three-fourths of the time, you feel like this guy's just pounding the ball into the ground, hitting it to second or short. And that's it. This guy's built on hitting line drives into the gaps, man. That's how he made a career, because he doesn't have the speed and he doesn't have the plus-plus power. He has some. Like, he's hit a homer before, right. You know what I mean? But, like, you need him to get him back into hitting more line drives. I wish he had better plate discipline in terms of, you know, being able to walk more. But, I mean, maybe that's something he can work on and down in Iowa. I don't know. I'm not a baseball coach or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, what am I supposed to know? That's just what I'm as
a
fan.
You're not a skipper? I thought you were a skipper.
I'm just saying, like, those are the things that Cubs fans want to see from a guy of, like, Nick Madrigal. They want to see him walk more. They want to see him hit more line drives. I think if Nick Madrigal does those two things, people will get on board with him and believe that he can be part of the next great Cubs team if he can do that.
We had Madrigal and Horner in our preseason picks for combined home runs. 10.5 was the line, right, Joey?
Correct.
Over.
And right now, what does Horner have? Two?
Two.
We almost got two more today. Horner almost hit one, and Madrigal almost hit one.
Contreras, too.
I don't know if you can. I don't know if we can. Yeah, between those guys.
Close, but no cigar.
We'll see. I still think we win that bet. Speaking of bets, if you enjoy CHGO, one way to help us continue to grow is to download the PointsBet app and use the code CHGO when you sign up. Not only do you get two risk-free bets up to $2,000, but if you make $50 or more on that first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content, and you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. Lots of sweet swag there, dope merch. And if you have any questions, email pointsbet@allchgo.com, and we'll help you out. And in case you missed it, online sign-up available in Illinois. You can actually download the PointsBet app right now and register your account start to finish, all from your phone. You'll be signing up with the fastest sports book, easier than ever, so you can start living your bet life in seconds. So what are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. It is almost 12:50 in the morning, so let's move forward and take a look at game two of the series real quickly.
Wade Miley. I honestly thought you were about to read the Strava coffee ad read there.
No Strava tonight. Strava. The pitching matchup, we get to see Wade Miley for the first time, going to make his Cubs debut against Mike Clevinger, the former
Guardian.
Cleveland Guardians pitcher, I guess you want to just say the former Cleveland
Tommy
pitcher.
John, right?
Yeah.
He started against the Guardians last week.
What would be a good start for you? What do you want to see out of Wade Miley tomorrow?
I'd say,
or today,
again. I mean, he had one start in AAA. He only went four innings. Did manage to push it to a fifth. I think reports were that he went out and threw a bullpen, or threw in the bullpen like a fifth up. Got that fifth inning. You know, simulated that. I think if you could get five innings out of him, like, that's a very good start. Five innings, you know, keeping the score low, limiting contact, whatever. I don't know what the pitch count is if he's on. I assume he is. But I think if you can get to five innings, you know, again, save a little more of the bullpen, maybe, you know, that I think five innings would be a very good start. If you can get four efficient innings, that's a good start. And again, his first start of the year, he had that, he was slow building up in spring training. And when they did start ramping him up quickly, he had the setback. So you knew they were going to take it slow with him the first month of the season. And so I can't, you know, I don't imagine him going out and pitching eight inning, you know, matching. He's not going to go out and match Kyle Hendricks' start today. I'll tell you.
Sorry,
that.
Ginger.
I don't imagine that happening. But I think if you can get five innings from him, you know, keep his pitch count a little lower, that should be a good first start in a Cubs uniform for Wade Miley tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, today. I think the big thing for Wade Miley today, this evening, I think for all Cubs fans, I think what would be cool is, because I think he'll be on the pitch on a pitch count, but if he doesn't walk anyone and he gives up three runs or less, I think you take that. I think you take that and run with it. Because again, yeah, one start in Iowa and the guy didn't have a spring training. Like I'm honestly surprised he's here. When I realized that he's coming up, I was mind blown.
He did look good in Iowa. His start, I think, it was 41 pitches, four pretty efficient innings. Like sent down the last seven or so batters that he faced. So he had a good start there. Again, we talked about it earlier. I assumed he'd have like maybe another start or two in Iowa before they brought him up. But you know, maybe some of the things with Stroman and Justin Steele's. I think they had said also reports. You know, the beat writers were tweeting out that Justin Steele's like expected to make his next start, but maybe, you know, getting Wade Miley in tomorrow. Maybe that was just kind of they played the hand they needed a starter, and he's been itching to go. I know he's been itching to start and make his debut of the team. He told us that in the clubhouse the other day, last week. So he's been itching to go. Again, I can't imagine him going more than five innings, really. And maybe if he's averaging like seven pitches an inning, sure, maybe he could go the whole game. But no, I think he'll be on a pitch count, and Ross will be taking it easy with him, just especially knowing how spring training went with him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll see. You know, Wade Miley's been
Clevinger,
Phil wants a perfect game.
I don't know how many.
We're not going to get a perfect game, I don't think. That'll be quite a ride if we get a perfect game out of Wade Miley tomorrow.
That would be a hell of a, like, hold my beer, Kyle, yeah, type would, moment, would right? You
know, well, he threw a no-hitter a year ago Saturday, this past Saturday.
Okay.
If he could follow it up a year later with a perfect game, that would be a wild, wild experience.
What a night it would be on the postgame tomorrow. What I was going to say, though, Mike Clevinger, again, one start, and he's coming off Tommy John. He's out for a year and a half. I assume Padres kind of have him. They're slowing him back in, too, so I feel like there will be pitch counts for both guys tomorrow. I think that, in a way, bodes well for the Cubs here. You know, hey, I'm not jumping too far ahead, but if you win tomorrow, you're like, holy shit, we won a series against the Padres. So I'm just saying, one game at a time. I'm enjoying this one. I'll be ready to get hurt again tomorrow night.
Cody with a complete 180. Yeah, he's flipped it around.
All I know is it's a good day to go 2-0 against the Padres. And that's only possible because of the professor, Kyle Hendricks, and the absolute gem. He threw almost a complete game shutout. Just short, but one of his best games in a long time. Cubs beat the Padres in the first one. We'll be back here for the postgame show later tonight. Thanks for dropping in to check out the CHGO Cubs postgame show. Take care, fly the W, and enjoy the weather.